When it comes to discipling a child, we need to know you don't just teach them the Bible, you do it. Let them see you do the Bible. We're going to talk about that today.
We want to welcome you to another edition of Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministry, this week talking about discipling your child. I'm your host, Ruthie J. Yesterday, we talked about how you disciple your child, whether you're intentionally trying to do so or not. They're constantly watching. They're watching to see if you truly are what you say you are. And it's so easy to say, oh, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I go to church. And then you just don't live like it.
They're watching you. We don't realize that we are discipling our children. Mm-hmm. It's what you're discipling them. What are they learning? We had that happen this particular season of life here in one of the children's homes. We got a boy who arrived in one of the children's homes at 13 years old. He was determined to show us he would not change. He was determined to show us that he would stay in a bad mood. And you earn points here every week. Everybody earns some points here every week. And your points also pertain to your allowance. This kid went an entire school semester, no points. I've never seen anybody go an entire semester, no points, no grades, all Fs, no nothing. And we stayed with him, and he turned a massive corner, and now, 7 months, 8 months down the road, especially through the summer, he's a leader and he's a team captain and he's burning through points. He's awesome. But what turned him was not only our consistency in discipline, but the consistency in the walk of the house father and the behavioral specialist in that house. He got to see two men living the life, and he got to see two men that never caved in on him. He got to see two men that were consistent. No, you are going to bed early. No, you are going to be cutting that grass. No, you are going to do this or that. But yes, we're all in on you, and we love you, and we're going to wait for you to choose to change. And it took months. But he got it. All of a sudden, he got it, and he's getting it. And he got it because they were discipling him in what it means to be a Christian by the way they responded to his incredibly negative behavior. Mm. He did everything he could to make them angry, everything he could to make them quit. And they never quit. They never, ever quit. And I think that's sometimes where we miss as parents. Our kids just take us down. Our kids get us exhausted, and they don't see the image that they're looking for of somebody who loves God. I remember a young woman sitting in my office years ago, and she said, I know that you use in your prayer this relationship of God and your father, and I know you have a relationship. I heard you pray at the church you're at, God and your father. And I said, well, wait a minute, that is a scripture verse, our father, yes. But she said, I had such a bad, destructive, abusive relationship with my father. I can't even imagine that with God. Part of this discipling is to help our kids know we are not God. He's perfect and awesome and incredible.
Right.
But that we are attempting to be a father figure to begin to launch you to the father figure who has all the answers. And some of that is how we respond to difficulty and how we respond to hard times and how we respond to when somebody's just bringing it on. There's a verse in Ephesians 4:26 that says, don't sin by letting anger get control of you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. That's an NLT translation of a verse I like better in another translation, but it's basically anger is a reality. Don't sin. There is going to be the emotion of anger,
right. But
don't let anger control you.
Right.
And my children watching me in potentially angry situations, and there were more than one time I had to apologize to Tori, my oldest, because she just knows where my buttons are. When she was 13 years old, it was unbelievable. And I'd have to come in, I'm sorry I lost my temper. I'm sorry I raised my voice. I'm sorry that I did that. Will you forgive me? And there were a couple of times I had to write her a note of apology like she had to do when she was rude. But I think that the privilege we have is our children being with us in life when people cut us off on the road and being with us in life when people are rude and difficult to deal with and see how we respond. Do we respond or do we react? And watching them see the difference.
What's scary is how little they are when they pick up and do the exact same reaction that we do or have when bad things happen. You start speeding away when you're angry and you're driving fast. All of a sudden, you find your kid gets their license and they're upset and they're driving fast too. And you wonder, where did he learn that from? Oh, from me.
Listening to 2-year-old plus 2 months Reuben, my grandson, say, oh my gosh. And he picked it up from his mom. And he's in the house the other day and he goes, oh my gosh. And it's not even an oh my gosh moment. And we all looked at each other. We did burst out laughing, but we realized, wow, he's like this little recorder. I mean, we could hear Tori, our daughter, saying those words. And he's like this little recorder. They're soaking it in at every age. And so how do I respond? And I got to say, I think one of the most significant moments, Christ moments, moments in our lives when our children are watching us are those moments we get squeezed, those toothpaste tube moments. You can look like toothpaste, but nobody knows what's in there till the tube is squeezed. Mm-hmm. And I think those are the moments in our lives when people observing, people watching, especially our children, see, okay, he really believes this. Mm-hmm. He really, really, really believes. Those moments where we have to choose to stay calm. Those moments where we have to be still and know that he's God, mm-hmm. and that he is in control. And if God's for us, who could ever be against us, even though this person has infuriated me? One of the great moments for discipling my children are during difficult times when people have pushed all our buttons, when people are rude, when people don't say thank you, and we're tempted. And maybe you're not tempted. My personality is tempted to have a response and not have a response.
Everyone.
Yes. Well, my temperament, unfortunately, is tempted to win, whatever the situation here is. And some of those battles aren't worthy of wins. And I can win better if I live for Christ. But I think these are interesting moments because I think this is a worthy broadcast for a husband and wife to listen to together and ask themselves the question. When do you think, what are the situations, what happens when our children have seen me not respond in a Christ-like way, mm-hmm. and just discuss it? Those have been very valuable times in our lives as a couple. When do my children see me not acting like Christ? And Rosemary would say, you know, generally when somebody does something where you feel they've attacked your ego or pride, all of a sudden you kind of come out of the box a little bit, or somebody demeans you. And we have this big word in our culture today called respect. They disrespected me.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden we become an adolescent again. They disrespected Christ and he hung on the cross anyway. Mm-hmm. They spit on him. They beat him. They ridiculed him. The disciples momentarily abandoned him and they hung him there on the cross. There was no way he had to do that if he didn't want to. All he had to do was blink. He spoke the world into existence. He could have spoke it out of existence or that part of the world and been there by himself with the legion of 100 million angels, 10,000 times 10,000, it says in the Bible. So he didn't. It's called self-control. Mm-hmm. And in our world, it needs to be Christ control, mm-hmm. that I relinquish when those pride things, those quote, which is a horrible phrase, disrespect.
Right.
I permit that then. I let that happen. If I put whether I feel respected or not into the hands of people out there, then shame on me. I need to take that all back. That needs to be all in my hands. I give permission to too many people to push my buttons. Mm-hmm. And then the little eyes are watching and doing the same. Haven't you seen at soccer games where a dad is screaming and all of a sudden there's a seven-year-old standing next to him screaming the same things?
Yep.
And all of a sudden the dad wonders, where'd you learn that word?
Mm-hmm.
From dad.
Right.
And where'd you learn that attitude? And the lack of honoring the ref out there, the authority figure. Our children need to see us not letting anger get control of us.
Mm-hmm. And there's so many opportunities to share it. Also, you know, even when you're talking about your marriage in front of the kids, that could be another opportunity. Hey, you know that I do this for mommy because this is what you do in marriage. Kind of, hey, let me show the spotlight on this. We had a family time a couple nights ago, and we were just focused on the verse that says, love is patient, love is kind. We barely got through patience, but just, you know.
Were you guys impatient about this moment?
Well,
you couldn't
there were
wait,
a few impatient
wait to
moments.
The end of the verse?
But there was a lot of us, so we went around in a circle, and it's always a little better as they're growing older, these little family times are getting a little better when they can all give examples. But even my husband and I giving examples, how are we patient with each other? You know, and my husband said, well, when we're really tired and we're going home and we're in the car and Ruthie starts planning the whole next day. And it had just happened probably 20 minutes before this family
I
time.
So wish I was
so,
there
oh,
for
it
this.
Was
yes.
wonderful.
Yes.
And I'm cracking up because it, you know I'm like that. And so we were giving examples of how we have to be patient in marriage like this. So then we opened it up. Okay, kids, when are you patient? And sort of giving the positive light. So then, and it was amazing what we heard come out of them. Oh, I'm patient when she wants to paint her nails first, even though I took the nail polish, you know, out of the box first. And you congratulate them in that moment. But that's where you're kind of saying, guys, this whole Bible stuff, it has to be real. And let me show you how it is kind of being real. And we're trying here. And let's all try together.
Wow. You know? Wow. You gave them the privilege of taking it out of the Bible, bring it into the home, and let's find it in here.
Yeah.
And I think that last example of when am I patient? When I'm angry that I had the nail polish and somebody else wanted to do it, and I let it go.
Yeah.
I let it go. The verse is, be angry and sin not. Yes, I'm angry, but I didn't sin. And I think what you've done is you've labeled it. We're going to talk about that this week, but you've shown a biblical principle and you've labeled it for them to kind of get a sense that, okay, they did what it says in the Bible. Our children, if we're going to disciple it, we need to label it. And, you know, you drive away from an intense moment and you either apologize when you feel something's happened and made you angry and you didn't handle it well, or you talk about it. What were you kids thinking when he said that or cut us off or did that? And continue the process. And they might be surprised to hear, my first thought was to ram the car or whatever. But not only would that be destructive, but that would be losing control.
Mm-hmm. But also sharing, like, look how I am so frustrated. This frustration is real. Mm-hmm. You're going to grow up, even as an adult, you're going to have this frustration. But the amount of, and exposing them to, this is lifelong. You're always going to have to deal with this, controlling yourself, but it's real. Your anger is real, but that doesn't mean you have to go out and sin.
And that's right. And the controlling yourself, even that's worthy of continuing the conversation. First, I need to control my outward response. Then I need to control my inward anger. And then I need to get to the point where I don't let circumstances control me, where I don't let actions control me. There's that passage in Mark chapter 4 where the disciples are out on the lake and it's horrible out there and a storm comes and it says there's water even going into the boat. I don't know how there's a storm, water going into the boat, and in the midst of all that, Jesus is sleeping in the boat.
And how is he sleeping? I don't know.
He's sleeping in the boat because, number one, he's Jesus. Number two, he knows who he is and he has the peace that passes understanding. It's hard for us to understand that he could be peaceful at that moment. Mm-hmm. And it's such a demonstration for his boys. And as he has that peace that I know we're okay, so I can continue sleeping. They wake him up and he rebukes the wind and the waves. It stops and he looks at them and says, wow, how long is it going to take you guys to get it? They wake him up and call him teacher. They don't wake him up and call him Lord. Mm-hmm. They wake him up and say, Rabbi. How can you?
And scolding him, too.
Yeah,
How can you let this happen?
Yeah, oh, yeah. How can you sleep at a time like this? And they didn't realize you're not talking to Rabbi. You're talking to Creator God in skin. And he has this peace. And ironically, he sends them out 2 chapters later in Mark chapter 6, and he stays on land. Now I want you to go. I want you to practice this. I'm going to be here praying. And he sends them out. They don't know that. He's just sending them out on the lake. All they think is they're supposed to get to the other side. No. What the real deal is, he used the other side as giving them a destination to do this journey, to see if you're learning peace, to see if I'm discipling you and you're picking it up. And they get out there in a storm and they're screaming so loud they don't recognize him walking on water. They think he's a ghost. And he gets in and he calms the water again. All of life is a lesson. So as a parent, I need to be consistent or acknowledge when I'm not consistent. You know, what you just saw there was not Christ-like. I'm sorry. That was wrong. And in the consistent times, I need to acknowledge, you know, what you saw there, I'm grateful for the way Jesus helped me respond rather than react because my gut wasn't that or my mouth wanted to get rolling here. And I'm grateful for the help because I don't want to bring shame to God. I don't want to bring shame to God. So our children are watching. And one of the great times that they're watching is during times when there's potential anger, during times when maybe in the past, I've been loud and screamed and yelled, during the times when people push my buttons and make me mad, during times when people are rude in the grocery store or on the highway, during times when people do whatever, and I learn not to be controlled. I learn to be angry but sin not and maintain control and not hand anybody else that much power to me. Acknowledge it and point it out to the children. Teach the lesson. Let them know how hard it was and let them know that wasn't me. That was Jesus in me. Our children are screaming to see it. And here's the problem. They don't get enough of us anyway because we're not on the farm or in the family-owned store. So we have these very minimal amounts of time. We're far too busy. And when I'm far too busy, I do not react well to the things that are out there because I'm more focused on my schedule than I am on the training opportunities within my schedule. Our children are looking to see if we really believe these things we say we believe.
We're talking about discipling your child this week on Parenting Today. If you want to find out more about this program, hear it again, read the daily corresponding blog that you can sign up for to get automatically, even share this broadcast with someone. You can find it all online at parentingtoday.org. I'm your host, Ruthie J, and you've been listening to Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. And if you want to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries, it's online at shfm.org. Tons of resources there, and you can find out of all the great things that happen at the ministry, too. That's shfm.org. And we hope you'll join us tomorrow for our next edition of Parenting Today on the topic of discipling your child.